due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Hornswoggle, if this means that much to you, go ahead.
What?
Get a ref, man.
Really?
Yes, go ahead, man.
Seriously? He's gonna...
Psych! I love this championship more than you love your wife! Arrivederci!
Hi, this is Eric Bischoff, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you!
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to Pain Clinic for June 29th. Yeah, I'm back. Holidays today. Camera day. It's a hug holiday. This is the one that was designed for the artiste. It's the hug holiday. International Mud Day and Waffle Iron Day. Cannot beat that. Happy birthday to former Straight Edge Society Serena Deeb, who is 33 today. I'll let you know, Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donors Delight Empire at Gulver. Join us July 6th for UFC 239 Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 Eastridge Road. 10 p.m. start time. You want to get there early, we'll be out at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. There'll be prizes and drink specials all night long, and I can't guarantee there'll be prizes, but there may be. You never know. I might get a bag of
lip balm.
Also,
grapefruit
lip balm. I think there's still a few left there, so come on out. And that's July 6th, though. That's not this week, but it's next weekend. And, of course, our Rochester's own Johnny Jones, Johnny Bones Jones, is fighting in the main event. Cannot wait for that. Come join us. We'll have a good time, I promise. There's all sorts of food there. You know, not just pizza. You can get everything. I get a salad every time, believe it or not. You know, if you see my girth and everything, but I still eat a salad. And they're very, very good, as well as anything else you can possibly order. We'll be there. So come join us. That's July 6th, UFC 239. Let's see. What else? Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater? Officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. Enjoying the Rock City Roller Derby. If you're interested in the Flower City Fear, which they have a game today. They have two games today. There's three games in total. Starts at noon at the Genesee Valley Regional Iceplex. No. Genesee Valley, what is it called again? Over there on Elmwood Avenue. And it starts at noon. We have three games. We have the Flower City Fear, Casco Bay Gentlemen from Maine, and Cleveland Guardians are coming to town, and that I'm going to be running out of here as soon as I get done to announce for three straight games. So come on out today. If you want to join the Flower City Fear, go to the Facebook page. That's Flower, F-L-O-U-R, Flower City Fear. I'm the Cash Man. I'm back. Thank you so much for missing me. Danger Boy, I left the radio show in good hands with you last week.
We didn't get kicked off the air,
bonus. I couldn't handle those darn long pauses, though, between when it's like, what are we going to talk about now?
Well, you see, you come back with the courtesy of having a week where something actually happened.
That's true. And, I mean, I did do all the news for you last week before I left. I'm sure there wasn't anything added beyond what I did.
No, not really.
But you were also building up a pay-per-view. But I'm back. I'm the Cash Man. I'm your humble host. I'm here with Danger Boy, Double B, Brian Burke, and some Furby showed up. What's this? Furby? What's going on? You think you can replace me with a Furby?
You remember how in the 90s everyone was worried they would copy what you were saying and repeat it back?
Yes.
They do.
Furby, thank you so much for joining us, man.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be back in the studio.
Yeah, cool, man. We're gonna we got on the phone with us right now, DC Dan Cole. DC, you there, buddy?
Good morning.
DC's joining us. So you know why it's a big deal. DC's on with us because it's probably like blistering hot down there, right, Dan, North Carolina?
All I know is I heard something about like slumping ratings and having to bring in people to be executive directors. That's why I figured I got the call.
Well, no, but we were gabbing quite a bit about some huge huge news this week, and it would be terrible if I didn't start off the show with it. But this news, and the thing is I truly question the validity of the news. But it's news nonetheless. It came out Thursday. It seems like they're making a kind of gung-ho try at it. But Danger Boy, tell us a little bit about what is going on. WWE, obviously, slumping ratings. Nothing is helping them. They bring The Undertaker out Monday. You know, I mean, out of the blue. No one knew he was coming. You know, I mean, usually he can sell a couple ratings points by, like, teasing he might be there.
Well, the thing that came out after that was The Undertaker was planned to be there for a while. They've had this whole feud planned for a while.
Yeah,
that he's going to have a feud with Drew McIntyre. But they've had their issues. They've had slumping ratings. They've had the lowest ratings they've ever had. They're down 19% over last year, which was the lowest ratings they ever had. So with their move to Fox and everything and needing to earn that money that they're going to be getting hand over fist, they decided on Thursday to make it official that they have hired Paul Heyman in charge of Raw and Eric Bischoff in charge of SmackDown as executive vice presidents that are going to be handling the creative side, answering only to Vince McMahon.
Okay, and so so these are going to be the creative focal points of both shows. These guys are going to be in charge of like what we see on TV.
And this is supposed to be not on air. This is supposed to be behind the scenes, actual jobs this time. Something that Paul Heyman's had before. He was in charge of SmackDown when SmackDown was fantastic and a good wrestling-based show. And Eric Bischoff has not had since he was in WCW. And fighting with Vince Russo, everything they were doing. So it's it came out of the blue. No one expected like an Eric Bischoff type thing, and it's really just odd.
So Danny, what do you think about this?
I seriously think that someone just kind of hit the panic button. I don't doubt for a second that this is valid. But I've loved all the secondary stories coming out of it, like, you know, why wasn't Triple H offered one of these positions? And then I'm hearing that, you know, Fox is kind of upset because they wanted to work with Heyman and not Bischoff. So, I mean, this is only going to get more interesting. And the only thing, like you said, Cash, you know, you're kind of skeptical. I noticed that they're advertising both Heyman for Raw this week and Bischoff for SmackDown, which is interesting because they're trying to be like, oh no, this is veiled, they're going to be in charge, it's behind the scenes, but they're advertising them.
See, I read right before I came here today that those advertisements made Vince McMahon very angry because they were never supposed to come out.
Ah,
really?
Well, that explains that.
They were leaked by people that they put the graphics out and everything, and they were never supposed to come out.
Okay, so
then why make them?
Because the one hand's not talking to the other one, and there's a disconnect.
Well, remember, they're having their ratings woes right now. This is not. I mean, what, you know, what else could they do besides resurrect the ruthless aggression PG-13 days? You know, and that's one thing they can't do. That's one thing that because they lost so much advertising when they were, you know, being just a little bit frisky on the air. You know, people having hands for babies, and you know. You know, what Eric Bischoff did that made the ratings go up.
HLA.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it, but you know, things like that, you know, so they can't really go back there. They could, actually. I think they should. 10 o'clock hour should always be like the, okay, this is where we're going to let loose, do some crazy stuff. But
well, wasn't there the rumor that they were going to make that third hour of Raw a bit more, I don't know,
risque?
Edgy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they
haven't
2 weeks
really
later.
Done anything.
Yeah, they haven't done anything. So it's like, yeah, you know. They're, you know, and the funny thing is it a creative issue? Is that why we're bringing these people back? Or are we looking at track records? That's why we're bringing these people back? Why are we bringing back Eric Bischoff, who hasn't worked in wrestling full-time in, like, 15 years at least?
And willingly says he hasn't followed up with what the current trends in wrestling is or anything like that.
It wasn't he who made the WCW what it is. He was definitely a part of what happened, but it was his not only his creative process, but it was the people who worked for him and saw the hot hand. I mean, and believe it or not, even though I was ripping on Kevin Nash a little while ago because he calls people little guys, Kevin Nash had a lot to do in what was going on. A lot of the wrestlers had a lot to say in what happened when they actually burst through with WCW.
And Bischoff happened to see the invasion angle in Japan and saw that it worked, and that's where the NWO came from.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, it's not like we hadn't seen one before. There'd always been things like that going around, you know, like, you know.
But not like coming over from the rival that they were on TV 2 weeks ago and then he shows up.
It was a little bit longer than that. There was a non-compete they had to sit out. But I will say that they did things like
They did sit out non-compete. They had their contracts ended.
There was at least a month between when they last showed up and when they showed up in WCW. But I will say that he had control of the TV network too, and it allowed him to do some things in the production side of it, where like they would they would intercept the broadcast, and bad guys would be outside with their own crew, things like that,
that made it look real wouldn't get along today because you have the internet telling you it's not real.
Yeah, so things like that,
I can 100% see why he would bring in Bischoff to deal with Fox, because Bischoff has more experience dealing with television stations. He was a TV executive. He's been that since he left wrestling. He can deal with, he can talk to the people, he knows how that works and all that stuff.
I mean, he does have a production company. So
Heyman is Heyman.
Yeah, and Heyman's been working pretty much back as a writer for Raw for months now, before WrestleMania. So 222-1280, star 1280 is the number if you want to call in and chime in. What do you think, Furby? I mean, you're a fairly young guy. I mean, was Eric? Do you remember the WCW when they actually were beating WWE?
So I'm going to show a little bit of my youth status here.
Okay.
Honestly, I did not have the privilege of watching a lot of the WCW stuff when I was growing up. Obviously, it's on the network now, so you can always go back and watch some of these things. But my first memory of Bischoff is when he got thrown in a trash compactor.
Sure.
And to me, I love seeing Bischoff and Heyman get a little bit more control here. Hopefully they do actually get this control. Just like DC said earlier, I think it's a little bit of panic mode, but I think seeing this urgency shows that they want to compete, because now, especially with AEW coming along, maybe it's caught them into a little bit of fire, and maybe we'll start to see some new intriguing, something different that we really haven't seen in a while. And, I said last week, WWE TV has been a little bit unwatchable lately, and maybe we can get some of these viewers, some of the ratings back up and spark some more interest.
I will say, you said something that not one of us had said yet, and that was AEW. And I meant to bring that up as well, because AEW has not put on one TV show, but the reverberation through this business has affected everybody, including the WWE.
Well, they're selling out shows in a matter of minutes,
in
10,000-plus stadiums. They've got...
They have a free show. Is it this weekend? They have a free
show tonight.
Yeah, it's tonight.
8:30 on Bleacher Report Live. You can watch that. Fighter Fest. And then they got another one next month on the 13th. And then they got All Out, which sold out in 14 minutes. And then TV, it came out this week. It's probably going to be Wednesday nights, the week that SmackDown moves to Fridays. So the fact that they signed a deal with TNT, who 20 years ago dropped wrestling cold turkey because they wanted nothing to do on their station, and they have a deal with TNT where they're not paying for airtime, is a little showing that there's a market for things. And if they're going to do this well, and they're going to actually, they come out guns roaring and actually do something, Vince has to have counter, and Vince by himself is not doing it.
That's what I was going to say too. Now hold on, Wednesday, October 2nd is the proposed first day of AEW on TNT. So write that down in your calendar. But Vince McMahon, is this show Vince McMahon in a weak position by what he had to do this past week? Is this like Vince McMahon kind of like...
Because he might actually be admitting he doesn't know what he's doing.
I hope so, but my only concern is that they still report only to Vince McMahon. So
Is
he going to...
That's the way it's always going to be,
How much creative control is he going to hold on to? How much is he going to let these guys be creative? He needs to let them. I'm just concerned that he's not going to with his stupid jokes and everything else.
DC, what do you think?
I would like to officially dub this era the cautious optimism era for kind of all the points you guys just laid out. Number one, I think it shows that Vince realizes finally maybe that he's out of touch and there's a problem. So he's turning to these guys who were his top competition, who brought the best out of Vince. But also, like Brian just said, at the end of the day, Vince is still in control.
Yeah.
So, cautious optimism.
Yeah, that is like ruthless aggression, cautious optimism.
Yeah,
I like that.
Exactly.
We'll call this we got to make a meme up or something, call this the era of cautious optimism. But yeah, the thing is I don't know if this Vince McMahon is never the one who wants to look bad in the public view. He never wants to ever have anything, they hush everything up when there's bad things going on, and you never, you don't hear about him. But when it comes to Vince, saying he needs some help. That's what I'm getting. It's like maybe that we are getting closer to the days when Vince might be stepping down. And
which is weird. He went to his former competition instead of the heir apparent.
Yeah, well, the heir apparent, I don't know if there's any issues going on. I know that they weren't seeing eye to eye for a while. Vince lets NXT, you know, him have NXT, and NXT is gangbusters over anything else they're doing. But NXT would not work on the platform of a Raw or a SmackDown. It doesn't
have the mass appeal.
It doesn't, you know. And it's like, I mean, it's hard enough to get our friends who like wrestling to watch NXT. I mean, how long have we been talking about it in the air, and we still have a bunch of friends who won't even turn it on, you know?
I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to watch NXT. It's honestly the best thing in WWE right now. I mean, I had watched this on regular TV all day, every day, over anything that Monday Night Raw or SmackDown puts out.
I will say, I'm going to throw this out too, as we're going to go into break here in a second. Vince McMahon, I've talked about this for a while, and it was a quote from Vince Russo from years ago when he was on the show with us, and he said that Vince McMahon, back in the days when they were number one, pulling 8 points, whatever, on Monday, they would never take a commercial break in a match. They would wait, and now it seems like we're going back to that a little bit. Vince is like keeping more of the emphasis on the wrestling, and not, you know, how many times have you seen a match start, go to commercial break, and it ends a minute when they come after a minute they come back. You know, this past week we saw those 2-3 ways going on, as well as so maybe he's basing this on the history of the good ratings that maybe to go back.
When we come back, I'm blasting everything they did with their matches this week about the not wrestling during commercial breaks.
Okay, we're gonna go to break. Danny, hang on, buddy. We'll be back in a second. We're gonna go to break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 12. You can text us at that number. I've got the text open, so if you have any comments, please send them. And we've got, and I'm going to tease this too. Seth Rollins, not quite the good guy I thought he was after this past week. And I'll explain more when we come back. But we're going to talk more about Vince, and Danger's got a point to make. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
You might say it pays to be the man's man.
Where's the Gallows and Anderson that I met in Japan? Where's the Gallows and Anderson that when we came to the WWE, we were taking over? Where's the Gallows and Anderson that were the Raw Tag Team Champions? What happened to you guys?
What happened to you?
Whoa,
what happened
whoa,
to
whoa,
you?
Whoa, 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 whoa. Those two guys are going to go out there and prove you wrong right now.
Hey, Cooja Cooj, that's me, Soccer Sam for Salvatore's Pizza. We buy all our products locally from Palmer's Foods. Our locations are spotless clean and owner-operated. Remember, we deliver everything but babies.
Last night, he was smart enough to know he couldn't out-wrestle me. Smart enough to know he couldn't out-fight me. Smart enough to get himself a referee that he knew I couldn't bash in with a steel chair. Smart enough to get a referee he knew would do anything in her power to take this title from me, but he wasn't smart enough to realize that I got the best backup on the planet.
Hey, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280, and that's all I got to say about that.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man, joined by Furby. That's right, Double B, Brian Burke, Danger Boy, Peter Burke's here. And I want to remind you today, if you're interested. Next week we'll be doing the UFC, but if you're around today, you want to check out Men's Roller Derby, Genesee Valley Park Sport Complex. That's right over on Elmwood Avenue. We've got three men's games today. The Flower City Fear are playing Cleveland Guardians, playing the Casco Bay Gentlemen, and we have Cleveland and Casco playing each other. Three games for the price of one. Come on out. It starts at noon. You can hear me talk your ear off for about 6 or 7 straight hours. Welcome back to the show. We're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. Danger Boy, get to your point, sir. Get to your point, because I've got some beef with Mr. Rollins, okay?
So you mentioned that they are doing the not wrestling during commercial breaks and whatever Vince Russo said.
Yeah.
The reason Vince Russo's WWE didn't do wrestling during commercial breaks is they didn't have wrestling. They had 2-minute matches, and then they would have some kind of skit or something like that. What Vince is doing right now is trying to make it like a real sport where they don't have, during their timeouts, they don't actually do anything. And it's ruining the 2 out of 3 falls match, which we're seeing them lean heavily on.
Sure.
Or they're just having matches where there's a distinct finish, and then they bring out more people, and then they restart the match after the break.
Well, I mean,
or you have the club come down.
Well, with your classic 2 out of 3, there is a break after the first fall, you know.
Yeah, but the classic 2 out of 3, why are we having a 2 out of 3 falls match between Elias and The Miz?
True.
The 2 out of 3 falls match should be like a deal breaker to people that, you know, there's something going on, you have to have this it's a stipulation to end a feud or to, you know, make it's not something you throw out there just because.
Yeah. I think go ahead.
Yeah, put some storyline behind it. I mean, if we're going to have continuous 2 out of 3 falls match every single show, I mean, for me, I want to see 2 out of 3 falls in a very important scenario in some sort of program where it gives me meaning, gives me some sort of life, not just throwing together a match, 2 out of 3 falls, just so that we can get past commercial breaks. To me, it makes no sense.
And I think that's what they're doing, is just throwing everything on TV, whether it makes sense or not.
Daniel Bryan got pinned in a match. And then there was the breakdown schmoz, and they came back from break, and all of a sudden it's an 8-man tag match. Why?
And it doesn't, you know, it does. But I think that I think that maybe this was the breaking point in which this material leaked that we heard about Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman, because of some of the things we were seeing and how, yes, it was a different Raw this past week. We got a lot more wrestling, I think, and I don't know. I mean, it's like, especially after the pay-per-view last weekend, we didn't even talk about how we felt about the pay-per-view.
It was great to a point.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a problem if they do what they've done on SmackDown at times and do a split screen so you could still watch what's going on in the ring.
They can only do that during the spots they got themselves, though, because if the network spots won't let them do it.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, so there's only a couple times, and they do it those couple times, but during the show. But
the problem was, so we always knew when they were going to break before, because someone would do a dive to the outside, and then it'd be like, we'll return to Raw right after this. And then they come back, and they'd be in some kind of chin lock or something like that.
Sure.
So now instead of the chin lock, they're standing around during the commercial break. One, it's terrible for us because we know exactly what's going on TV. But imagine the people sitting there, the 10 people that paid for the show to actually watch it, after we saw how ratings declined, or the attendance declined. If you saw
the
stomping grounds looked full because everybody was on one side. If you saw the full stadium, that side where the camera was completely empty.
Oh, hopefully nobody took a picture of the empty side and posted it, because I know people got in trouble for doing that before.
Oh, it definitely happened.
Oh, did it?
Okay. And then Raw sold 3,000 tickets.
Wow. See, and you wonder why Fox is like, hey, are we getting damaged goods here or something? You know,
Raw sold 3,000 tickets. There's an NXT show that's coming August 9th to Riverworks in Buffalo. They'll have 1,500 people at it
at least,
and it's not TV.
Is it August 9th?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going. We're doing this. I definitely got to go.
I kept getting updates about the Albany one. And I was like, what the heck? And then I can't go August 9th because Hootie's in town.
Oh, you know, I think NXT is more important than Hootie. You know, really put weigh out what's more important, Danger. Tell him, Danny.
Speaking as someone who just sold his Hootie tickets, it's a great time to sell Hootie tickets.
Yeah, I believe Danny made some money on his purchase, even though I'm sure he wanted to go see Hootie, right?
The market is hot. I'm okay with not going.
All right. So, but see, Danger, there. Now you can come to NXT in Buffalo. We'll see our friend JB, because I know he's on tour with them. So, also starting the new NXT UK, which is, I guess.
He was over in the UK last week for Rockstar Spud's, Drake Maverick's wedding.
Yeah, I wanted to. I didn't get to talk about that last week when you guys were talking about it, but. how, you know, is R-Truth got to save everything on WWE programming? Does he got to?
There's two things saving WWE programming right now. It's R-Truth and anything having to do with the Firefly Funhouse, which, if you have a keen eye, you saw was on TV this week on both shows, even though there was no segment.
Oh, it was great. Where's Waldo's style action?
Yeah, I know. I did see the crow in the background of the one.
There's no crow.
Whatever it is.
It's a buzzard, Cash.
Yeah, whatever.
It's Mercy the Buzzard.
Whatever. Yeah, so eventually maybe these will make it to, you know, they'll leave some more hints as it goes along, and eventually. See, that's the thing is, unfortunately, they're so hot on changing things to make it better ratings, that probably could get pushed to the wayside very easily and nobody would notice.
No, Heyman's taking care of Raw, so I'm pretty sure he's in touch with what's going on.
Got a text from somebody. They wrote, this could be great if Vince lets these guys do their jobs. If he constantly interferes, it's pointless. This is WWE's last best chance to save itself. I don't agree with it to save itself. It really could do some things that could save itself, but it would have to ditch the PG tag to it. They'd have to go a little bit more risque.
They could do 100% PG. Yeah. They have to ditch Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, there's limits, you know. And I mean, how funny is poop jokes every week? You know, when Vince is laughing at everything in the monster position.
No concerns about Paul Heyman running Raw, or if Paul Heyman is running SmackDown. Eric Bischoff hasn't done this kind of job since TNA, and that was a disaster.
Oh yeah, he split the entire locker room, and he took something that was really kind of on its way up. And they figured maybe Hogan and Bischoff would put it over. And unfortunately, they have their old alliances with people and had to bring them back and do things.
How do you think the people that were in TNA, and there's a bunch of them that were at the time.
So now the question is when do we see Hogan? Is it going to be Hogan on Monday and Hogan on Tuesday? We're going to get Hulk Hogan on Monday and Hollywood on Tuesday on SmackDown, right? You know, I mean, because, I mean, they're tight. You know, you got to think Hogan probably smiled when he saw the news. Because, you know, Bischoff, like, he's one of his best friends, you know, which is sad, you know, I'm scared.
I don't think you'll see Hogan any more than we see him currently.
I don't know.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while, yeah. And he makes fun of himself at WrestleMania. I don't know. Danny, you know, I usually trust your gut feeling on this. How you know, is this legit, Dan? Is Derek Bischoff being in charge of SmackDown and Paul Heyman, you know, being in charge of Raw? Are we going to see anything drastic? Those guys don't have signature things, you know?
No, I'll say this. It's not going to be immediate. We're going to have to be a bit patient, which after being fans of WWE this time, I think we're pretty good at being patient. but from what I've heard, their control is going to be exactly like Triple H's control of NXT, which is why I think it will work. Again, it's all going to hinge on how much of a control freak Vince McMahon ends up being, and we all know that he can be an absolute 100% control freak. He needs to take a step back.
We also got to remember that very shortly Vince is going to have to do something because he is putting up at least $100 million for this year in a football league that starts next February.
Also, Fox Sports, Fox Network said, and remember this because it's going to happen before October, that there's can be no cross-promoting of Raw and SmackDown wrestlers. They're either on one show or the other, but they do not want people.
If they're putting two different people in charge of two different shows, they have to reestablish the brand split.
That's what I'm guessing. That may have had something to do with it, too. It's like, you know, we want you to run this with people you have and not worry about people we have over on Raw or whatever. They probably pitched it to him that way. I'd love to talk to Eric Bischoff about this because, you know, I mean, he was in town, what, like back in November, I think, you know, for that live podcast he did at the Comedy Club. And, I'm sure. I mean, he seems to be making quotes everywhere ever since they've announced it, you know, and he's still going to be doing his podcast. So
he's quietly canceled a bunch of his dates, though, that he was doing live.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe we can get some sort of control on this wild card rule.
Rule, I think, is going bye-bye. I think they realize after, what, a month, 2 months now of it having, it's not working, and it's actually taking away from the product.
And it didn't work because they never stuck to what they said they were going to do with it. Oh. They said five guys. It seems like the whole roster's on either other show, vice versa. So it was never really any wild card rule.
I think it was just an attempt to see maybe to bolster ratings a little bit for probably even SmackDown, just having some of the guys from Raw show up over. Because obviously the Raw is still the A show. It's going to be, you know, they're going to put the, you know, I mean, you have Roman Reigns in that main event position all the time on Raw as well as but you know, I believe me, I don't have a problem seeing Daniel Bryan on both shows. I mean, I enjoy what he does. I enjoy AJ Styles. AJ's now back in the ring wrestling, you know. But I want to get to a guy named Seth Rollins, the man who is holding the title right now on Monday Night Raw, the Universal title. That's right, and that's what she said. Becky Lynch said, you know, what'd she say?
Sometimes it's good to be the man's man.
Sometimes it's good to be the man's man. And so that's because she came and defended him during Stomping Grounds last weekend. But there was a little back and forth between Seth Rollins was defending the WWE against some people. You know, he's taken under his wing to be the ultimate defender of everything that's going on in Raw, especially since Dean Ambrose left. And he actually came out and made some comments about what Dean Ambrose was talking about in the interview with Jericho. And then it started a little bit of a snowball with some other people. Will Ospreay from Ring of Honor. Is it Ring of Honor or is he New Japan?
New Japan.
New Japan.
And Will Ospreay, if you've never seen him wrestle, is absolutely amazing. Will Ospreay and him had a little back and forth. And Danger, how, you know, where do you get a feeling from this? Basically, Rollins said, look at my bank account, little guy.
Well, Seth Rollins first was defending what was going on and said it was the best pro wrestling before the pay-per-view last week and then doubled down on it after Stomping Ground. And he said, if you can show anybody who does this better than me more often than I do, and Will Ospreay goes, I've wrestled more matches than you this year and I've had better matches. And then Seth Rollins went to the bank account thing, which he should. If he had not done that, his position could have been defendable because he's sticking up for his company and they are number one. But he went to the bank account thing, and Jericho's been in on it, and Ospreay's been in on it. And Seth Rollins also said, we have a better version of you and Ricochet.
Yeah, he said he just won a title last Monday, and, he, you know, little guy. And, I mean, he emphasized the term little guy.
He's taller than Seth, by the way.
Yes, he is. So, and so it was kind of demeaning. I mean, people saw it, and Seth should have never have done it. I mean, and he can defend the WWE locker room all he wants as being the best wrestlers in the world, because I'm not going to disagree with him, because if you let those guys do what they want to do, they could do New Japan style matches. They could do
most of them did.
Yeah, you know. So I mean, and that's what someone else said, is most of the guys who are in the main event on Raw.
Well, that's what Ospreay said. Straight up said most of the guys you have, most of the guys in AEW and in WWE who are head guys have been in New Japan.
Yeah, and you know, and they learned the trade there or spent some time there, like everybody, like AJ Styles, you know, perfect
example.
That
goes for Brock Lesnar too.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar. So there was the spat going back and forth, and it kind of, you know, it was a little bit of excitement. I think it was on Tuesday or Wednesday when it came out, and everyone has chimed in on it since. Everybody, I mean, you know. Sean Waltman had some comments on it. You can go online and follow the little back and forth. I'm glad it didn't continue on. I think probably someone, one of the bosses, said, hey, cool it or something, you know.
Well, it also got overshadowed by the Bischoff-Heyman news.
Yes.
And then Seth went out last night in Japan and apparently tore the house down with Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah. And, well, yeah, and Shinsuke, of course, one of our favorite wrestlers who gets to actually wrestle on occasion. And,
he's back on TV finally. He's going to take on Finn Balor.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. But
who's also back on TV despite being a champion.
Yeah. And, yeah, he's been disappeared for a while. Actually, I kind of like what they're doing with him. You know, I mean, they give him a clean win over Andrade there. And it's like, what's next? And so then we, you know, good. You know, maybe wrestling is really the basis of what they should do on these shows, and let the storylines come out after that, you know?
And let the guys be themselves.
Oh, without a doubt. We're going to go to break on that. Hold on a second, Danny. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. I just got some other things to talk about. Nothing too drastic.
We should talk about Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer.
Did you hear about that this week?
I have not, but I heard about Kenny Omega getting in some heat. We'll talk about WWE scheduling something at the same time that AEW has something scheduled, and Kenny Omega kind of wasn't happy about it. We'll talk about that on the flip side. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
My wife won't talk to me. My wife won't go on our honeymoon with me. My wife, you know, we haven't even consummated the marriage.
Fiber is good for that.
What are you talking about?
He said his marriage was constipated.
Consummated! Now listen!
See, I am starting to think that there is not one person, not one singular person here that is man enough to pick a fight with me.
It's back.
There aren't too many people on Earth that Scott Dawson gets along with, not named Dash.
I believe, based off of Twitter, they all wanted to have a small package off.
And think of these people are in Washington State.
Listen,
are just rude.
Listen.
Hey, this is CM Punk, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
To listen to the announcers real closely sometimes.
Yeah.
I would like, what'd she say? A Sabal package off.
Yes.
I got to give Renee Young credit. She's had a couple funny things this past week, and it's like maybe they're letting her loose a little bit now that her husband isn't working for the company anymore.
Yeah, I've seen all the comments about how, and we had a tweet or a text come in about how terrible Renee Young is. Everyone has to realize, for the most part, they don't get to say anything themselves, and they're told everything to say when they're on TV. And they're told what character they have to be, and if they don't, they get screamed at.
And some people can do it. Corey Graves does a great job of it, and others have a harder time with it, and I understand that.
Anyone who's worked with Michael Cole, as much as we all hate Michael Cole as an announcer, everyone who's worked with Michael Cole has nothing but glowing things to say about him because he can deal with it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, but he also is kind of like a jerk to some other people, too, because he's kind of like a boss of all the other announcers.
Yeah.
So got a couple of texts coming in. This one's from our friend Mad Dog. Says, I swear I'm coming down there and shaving Double B's beard on the air if he doesn't stop rubbing his hair. Weird. That's how it ends. And then we have a don't want to go all it's still real to me, damn it, but I've been watching WWE for 37 years. I canceled the season pass on my DVR because it's just lame. Also, Renee Young is god awful. Okay, so we have someone who doesn't feel the same about Renee, but there's some love for her there. Believe me, she's a Torontonian. She's like right from across the
she
little
got
pond.
To the position for a reason, but there's a reason why a lot of people don't like that position.
Yeah, I mean, they want to put a woman on the announce team. Yes, that made a lot of sense. And there's not a lot of qualified women who could actually do that. So, and I give her a lot of credit.
Well,
so.
Listen, ask Kevin Owens. There's Renee and there's not Renee.
That's true. So, Danny, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing just fine.
How is North?
I'm glad I'm not on camera, so nobody can critique me right now.
How's North Carolina treating you?
You know, so far so good. Got to get used to the heat. Not used to the heat.
Yeah, it's like I think this is the first warm week we've really had up here since winter ended. I know I'm being kind of painting a small picture, but it has not been a great spring here in Rochester. Now we're finally into summer, and we're seeing, you know, today's like high is going to be like around 81. So it's it's nice and calm, a little sticky out today. But yeah, I heard you can't be a registered Democrat down there and get your license renewed, right? Or changed to North Carolina.
Well, I guess it all depends on who you see, because me and my wife had drastically different experiences at the DMV.
I saw the post, and it was very funny, and it's like, you're going to bring a little bit of the North down with you to North Carolina there.
I mean, we'll do what we can, Cash. We'll do what we can.
I don't want to put the pressure on you, but I thank you for coming on because it was such a big week in news. What do you think about Rollins? I mean, how does that make you feel about some of the things he said this past week?
Part of me doesn't know whether to think he truly is a jerk or if he was told to say some of these things. Because that whole thing about, you know, talking about how, Ambrose took his ball and went home, that to me doesn't sound like something he would say, but you never know.
Do you ever wonder if he's just trying to kiss up to the people who pay pay him, you know? I mean, but remember, they also run each of the person's Twitters. The WWE brass can put anything they want on anybody who works for them Twitters. They really do.
Right.
They have a way to log into them and do it. So you'll notice, like, for instance, for the longest time, people who weren't really active on Twitter, who had Twitter accounts in the WWE, all of a sudden they'd be promoting the next pay-per-view or the next event, and it's only because that's what the office would do, you know, with their control of their Twitter. You know, so is it something, you know, is this legit Seth Rollins, or is this, you know, this is the company telling him, you know, hey, we're getting a lot of bad press. You're the leader of our locker room. You're the leader of the number one show. You've got to, you know, stand up and defend us, you know, and which I think would be put him in a horrible position, you know.
You know, Cash, I think it's a combination of that, and I think it's a combination of he is the top guy at WWE, but nobody is talking about WWE right now, and that has to irritate the ever-living piss out of him.
Oh, yeah.
He is the 2019 version of Kevin Nash in 1995. He's the champion, but no one cares.
Yeah.
It's true. And it's like, I mean, once you get away from everyone hating him, I think he got a lot of benefit from people hating Brock Lesnar because they wanted anybody but Brock, you know, and now they've got somebody but Brock. And now we got to continue on with this guy being your champion, and we got to give some legitimate contenders, throw him in there at him. And that's the hard part, is to build up a good heel that we don't have, haven't had built up in a long time. Well, not one like Brock Lesnar, that's
for
sure.
I'm not one who's as grossly opposed to Baron Corbin being towards the top of the card as some people. But when I read yesterday the reason why Vince McMahon wants him to be the top heel, I had to laugh. If you have not heard this, Vince McMahon thinks that ladies swoon over Baron Corbin.
Okay. Ladies, what do you think? 222-1280, star 1280. You can text us at that number as well. Do you swoon over Baron Corbin? He's not like, you know, I mean, I don't know. See, when I was younger, there was like the bad guys who were really in great shape, Rick Rude had, you know, he was like a, you know, and so when some women could put their blinders on and say, this guy's super hot, I don't care if he's bad or not, you know. That's why you get the ladies up in the ring who he'd come in, he'd like end up kissing at the end and making them, you know, lose their breath or whatever the heck was going on he was doing there for a while, where he would, like, you know, he'd lay them down on the, in the ring. But, you know, I don't know. But Baron Corbin,
I think it's confusing, though, Cash, because when it came out that Vince said ladies swoon, it wasn't talking about his looks. He was talking about his vest. ladies love a sharp vest.
Ladies do love a sharp vest. Must be his in-ring gear that he wears every week, that dress shirt and dress pants.
Well, remember when he had
the Applebee's manager outfit.
Remember when he had the skullet going there for a while, right? You know, I mean, that was definitely not a ladies' choice there. When he had, like, the thank God he freaking shaved his head eventually, because that skullet was terrible.
No, not thank God he shaved his head, because they could have given us the best hair versus hair match in the history of the world, and it would have been the most satisfying, but instead he did it on his own.
He did it on his own.
You could have made some money with that.
Oh, man. 222-1280 starts. We're going to go to break. We got one more to get in before the end of the show. Danny, hang on a second. We'll be back right after this. Oh, I think I already played this. I don't want to hear Elias again. How about we go with a little Alexa Bliss? We'll be back right after these messages on Fox Sports 1280.
Hey everybody, this is Jim Cornette. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
I love this music. This man is so handsome. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. This is Baron Corbin's music, folks. And
you were in part of that group that Vince McMahon interviewed, weren't you?
I was. And I will say that he was on, I used to produce the Carl Falk Show here, and he was on the Carl Falk Show before they came to town last. And he was he spoke very well. Talked about his experience in boxing, amongst other things that he's done. And you know what? I pick him as a number one heel on Raw. I mean, right now, because there's no one else that strong, you know?
He does a good job at people hating him.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the question is, and we might as well jump into it for a second, because I know that we haven't really talked much about Bray Wyatt and his return beyond the little teases they were doing. But when does Bray Wyatt come back? When are we going to get a full-blown Bray Wyatt return?
I don't know. I kind of like the subtlety right now. I kind of want, like, something weird to happen this week. Like, maybe not the puppets showing up, but maybe, like, the camera cuts to, like, a screen of The Fiend or something real quick during a match.
If they can keep him off TV long enough but keep doing all these little subtle things to keep the Firefly Funhouse thing and potential tease of The Fiend, keep this going, and then all of a sudden bring him out of nowhere, I think you could get huge, huge stuff out of this.
DC?
Yeah, I agree. I'm liking the slow build. I'd like to have an idea of where it's going, but I'm not complaining with what they've done up to this point.
I just don't think you want to waste what you've gotten out of it already.
And that's what they've been doing for a while is kind of wasting anything they have. They rush everything.
But the problem right now with them is if you're not looking for that stuff in the background, you're missing it completely, and it's been 2 weeks now. We've seen nothing.
No, last week there was a thing. This is the first week where there was.
Okay, so this week there was nothing. Yeah. You know, he threatened to come or whatever, and it's like, is he going to come out with a mask on, that crazy-looking mask with the teeth? Was something from a
tattoo? I hope he comes out to the Muscle Man dance.
The Muscle Man dance?
They got shirts now.
They have Muscle Man shirts dance? Or shirts? Oh, well, you know what? He looks, you know, I will say, they can't go too many weeks with it, just putting subliminal things in the background, because then not saying that the average fan is not that sharp, but I'm saying, you know, unless you're looking for it, you're not seeing that stuff, you know. The only reason I actually went back and looked at it was because I saw some on Twitter that popped up and stuff. It's like, you know, because there's lots of stuff in the background, you know. I mean, but not Bray Wyatt's funhouse stuff, no. You know.
Let's cut completely different real quick to the craziest story of the week that you probably haven't heard, just because.
Oh yeah, we ran out of time.
Yes. So Tommy Dreamer, on his podcast this week, came out and said that he was originally supposed to be in the Rhino position at WrestleMania, in WrestleMania 17, when Rhino came out and joined Edge and Christian, that kind of stuff. He was supposed to be in that TLC match.
Okay.
So he got a call that they were going a different direction. He thought his life was done. He had just moved back in with his parents. He was kind of broke because of all the ECW stuff, not getting paid, that kind of thing. He planned to go to Texas at WrestleMania, walk up behind Paul Heyman on commentary, and shoot him in the back of the head and shoot himself.
Wow.
Yeah, I read the article.
And then he got a call from Jim Ross and said they still had plans to bring him in. So he rethought his position.
Wow. And he admitted this?
Yes.
Yeah, I read the article last night, and depression was really killing him at this time in his life. And I read that, and it put me in full shock.
That's pretty heavy duty. I mean, it's like, and Tommy, I give him a lot of credit. He's done a lot of things since then. But, man, that's crazy. I did not hear that at all. I'm going to have to go back and check that out. Man, that just blows my mind. Because
I saw the headline on one of the wrestling sites. I was like, there's no way. What is this talking? And then I heard the story, and I was like, holy crap.
Yeah. Wow. I hadn't heard that.
That is some crazy stuff. And I will say that Tommy's always been a friend of the show. We've had him. I mean, this is after remember the time we had him on for an hour?
Yes.
And this is after that. So this is, you know, back when he was still touring with ECW, trying to build up that September to Remember. What was it?
No, this is when he was trying to build up the.
No, but I mean, this is when we had him on the show. Yeah. This was a moment in his life that this happened after.
Yes.
So that's just because he was such a great, so helpful to us on the air and everything. And then, you know, I mean, but people, you know, I mean, if he has depression issues, depression is serious stuff. You know, definitely talk to people. I'm glad that Jim Ross was there for him to, you know, kind of nix what he was thinking, because that's some disturbing admittance from him. You know, wow. I'm sure he's probably getting a lot of people there reading it, as well as probably making a lot of.
It shows you depression's no joke.
No,
it's some pretty powerful stuff.
It is, and it's like, wow, man, that's a. Now I'm all bummed out, dude. We have such a crazy show. No, I'm kidding. We have a crazy show, but so much news that it really doesn't mean anything compared to that. We do want to mention, though, one more thing before we get out of here. So I talked a little bit about Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega kind of made a post because WWE decided to put Evolve's 10th anniversary event opposite AEW's Fight for the Fallen on July 13th, and they were going to do it for free, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be on the WWE Network.
And so and so basically that's how WWE counter programs against AEW.
And not only are they putting Evolve's 10th anniversary on, they're also giving away. They're putting Adam Cole versus Akira Tozawa for the NXT title, and Matt Riddle is also fighting on the show.
And so this is what he wrote. This is what Kenny wrote. He's like, I hear the healthy competition is supposed to be a good thing, and yet I can't help but feel like I'm going to be sick after posting that message about what they're doing. And then he erased it, and then he came back later with, I said my piece, and it opened the doors to a very toxic environment. It wasn't a message to the fans or the boys, just the decision makers. I wish everyone
Cash,
yeah,
you left off the best part of his original tweet.
Yeah.
Oh,
if lining your pockets with blood money is okay, then what's wrong with trying to undermine a charity show for victims of gun violence?
Sorry. Yeah, that was a very important part of that that original announcement. And so, and he was really hurt by it, and then he erased that post, and then came back and said, you know, I'm not going to make it a more toxic situation. So, what a crazy week in wrestling, guys. Danny, thank you so much for giving us some time, man.
Oh, no problem, fellas.
You know, Danny may not be here, but we still do text each other all about wrestling all the time, and trying to solve the world of wrestling amongst four people on a text message.
Danny, hey, we do what we can.
We do. Thank you so much, Danny. We'll talk to you soon, okay, buddy?
Later, boys.
All right. And thank you, Furby. Thank you, Double B. Thank you, Danger, Peter Burke, always. And I'm the Cash Man. We're going to get out of here. We'll see you next week. Next week ought to be an interesting week, that's for sure, coming up with AEW this weekend. So we'll be back next Saturday. Check
Bleacher
us out.
Report Live, AEW Fighter Fest tonight.
Fighter Fest tonight. If you want to see it live, where is it again?
Bleacher Report Live. You got to register online, but you can watch it for free.
And check it out. See what WWE's scared of. We'll be back next week. We'll see ya. Body slam somebody you love. Abby, everyone's